G&D on the Fan. I'm out here in Ashburn. Danny is back in studio. And, in fact, you caught up earlier in the day with Kyle Busch, the longtime excellent stock car driver, Kurt Busch, rather, beg your pardon, and the brother of the late tragic Kyle Busch.
Indeed, yeah.
Kurt Busch, who's going to be racing in the Indy circuit, and the 250 Grand Prix is coming. But I'm looking forward to hearing that conversation, the conversation you had with him, because he has had a great career. NASCAR
really
Paulson,
has.
As you know, has gotten into stock car racing. He's a longtime successful driver. The passing of his brother, Kyle, is still one of the most awful, tragic, terrible, just sad things that I can remember in sports in a long time, with him being still at his peak athletically and based on an illness over a very short time. Nobody even knew he was sick, no longer with us. But that brother tandem in racing, one of the most legendary and iconic in a long time.
Yeah, that name certainly rings out. I mean, it's up there in kind of the royalty of it. And as, you know, just full disclosure, I know so little about racing, car racing, NASCAR, Indy, everything else. And that's how we kind of talked about it from that perspective. Really, really cool. So he's doing, I didn't even realize how this actually worked. And he was kind enough to, you know, say, they're there, pudgy idiot. I'll explain it to you for the millionth time as I have to go around on these kind of media circuits. But he's in what's called the IROC race on Saturday. That's a bunch of legends from the different car disciplines. There's an old F1 guy in it. There's a couple IndyCar guys in it. There's some old NASCAR guys in it.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're all kind of getting together. And there's inter-sport. I mean, it's all racing, but it's inter-sport rivalry. It's like the NASCAR guy goes, here's why it's harder for us. It's a stock car. It's this. It's heavy. The IndyCar guy goes, it's harder for us because, A, we go faster. B, you feel every turn and corner because it's all, you know, stiff and rickety. F1 guy says, we're the best in the world. Whatever. And so they all have all kind of behind the scenes argued with each other. So they go race on Saturdays, kind of a preview to the big one that's on Sunday.
Kurt Busch at around 6 o'clock, about 3.5 hours from right now on Grant and Danny. Just 775 races over 23 years on the NASCAR circuit, if you're into that kind of thing. And NASCAR Rouye, who knows more about racing than anybody,
apparently,
certainly than I know, doing his second interview with the driver in a short time here.
It's something. You do it once, doesn't make you that thing. You do it twice in 7 days. I'm now an expert.
It's a passion,
I would say.
Yeah,
like I insisted. I was like, we have to talk to these guys, and I want to make sure that no one thinks I'm a giant fraud who doesn't know anything, because I know everything.
We've got tickets, by the way, for somebody, a pair of them, to the 250 Grand Prix here in D.C. with the Indy cars flying around the DMV inside the city for the first time ever. We're giving those away at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz, so make sure you're listening. But right now, we're looking ahead to Saturday noon kickoff. A lot of people keep saying Saturday night. This is a daytime preseason game, which is a new wrinkle over the last few years in the NFL. But the Commanders and the Lions are going to be putting the ball in the air in the early afternoon matinee style. And the question is, who's going to be on the field? You can't have fewer starters than Washington had in their last preseason game, because they sat about 30 guys and next to nobody who's going to start or play a lot in the early part of the season was on the field. So there's going to be more starters. I guess the question is how many? And the other question is, will Jaden Daniels go? And the tea leaves that I'm reading are starting to make it seem like he's not going to play, which would mean he doesn't play in the preseason. So the question we've asked here at 800-636-1067 is, Jaden Daniels not playing at all this preseason is, and we want you to fill in that blank. Danny says a miss. I've gone with maddening.
I think both apply, because we're feeding out of the same trough here. Again, if my larger paradigm, 10 plays in a preseason game, 12, 7, whatever it is, I would feel better about it if it wasn't like, hey, he had a good Wednesday practice. Because that's really what it is, right? Like, hey, we practiced Wednesday in pads for the first time really since we played last Friday where he didn't play. It's just not enough. And if it was a, look at all the work that we've done, not, oh, man, what if Nick Allegretti can't go? You know what I mean? If it was a, these guys have done so much, we have to pull them back, I could kind of get on board with it, right? I'd go, okay, that makes more sense to me. If it's a, oh, no, like, Julian Good-Jones might play, we can't possibly do it, and he practiced on Wednesday. That's not enough. That's soft. That's just nowhere near what it needs to be.
So I get that he's gotten a lot more reps because of the Mariota injury this week. That's very true. I've seen it with my own eyes. That's a fact. But I just don't know that the reps equate to the same thing that a game rep would be. And it's almost, for me, irrelevant how many practice reps he's going to get. Have you ever gotten a call into your helmet in a game from David Blough? The answer is no. Let's change that. Have you ever run this offense in a game? The answer is no. Let's change that. Before the Eagles. Just once. Let's go through the motions in a lower stakes situation is where I'm at. Have you played more than twice since Halloween? The answer is no. Let's change that. Before you have to take on a defense that I actually think might end up being the best in football this year in Philly. Although good news, and Lord knows you need some good news if you're a Commanders fan getting ready for week one against Philly's defense. It sounds like Jonathan Grenard is not going to be back in time to play in that game. I don't know if you heard the Vic Fangio comments today, but their DC at the podium said that based on his recovery and where he's at right now, they're not really sure when he's going to be elevated to practice regularly, and that his regular season is in jeopardy right now. So this is trending toward maybe not having to deal with him, which is a big deal.
Yeah, he could take his time. I hope he's okay, but not just make sure you're really, really judicious about that recovery.
The fewer quality pass rushers for Coleman and Connerly to deal with off the edge in that game, the better as far as I'm concerned. Because you've already got to deal with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis on the interior. And that's the Allegretti with a light preseason and Chris Paul, Sam Cosmi trio.
Yeah, Cosmi, 700-plus pounds of hatred right there.
Cosmi's the one guy of that triumvirate that you feel really good about right now. You can put in pen. He had a great interview today, by the way, on B. Mitch and Finley. If you guys missed that, you should
awesome.
Grab it because I really enjoyed listening to that. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on the Fan. Kevin, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, fellas. It is quite simply emblematic of poor roster construction this offseason on offense. Please give me a minute. Okay, we have a defensive brain trust in Peterson Quinn. We spent $166 million on defense in terms of the roster this year for defense. It's $140 million on offense. Okay? Let's also look at what the biggest bust so far with Adam Peters are definitely Lattimore and Newton is spending that way. Okay? Before we signed Diggs, finally, we had over $40K in cap space left. Here's who we signed on D. Owen, Chaisson, Chenault. We got Styles, 7th overall. Settle. And then who? Cross, Robinson, Rasul. On O, are you ready for it, boys? Chiggs and the Jags until we signed Diggs a week ago. And Hartman's on this roster? I mean, come on. This is poor roster construction on offense. We don't have linemen who can protect him. Someone just ranked us 32nd in the league. Please talk me off the ledge.
Not sure I can at this point. Kevin and I are feeding out of the same trough. I've said that a couple times.
You should say feeding out of the same trough.
I might say it more. Here's how we're feeding out of the same trough. I'm imagining all the worst case. I'm not. We should be allowed to have a, hey, if Connerly is better, as they think he's going to be. If Allegretti's is good, and they're as confident as they were to let Biadasz go because they knew Allegretti would be able to do it. And Chris Paul really is as good as they think and not as good as the league market thinks. And Coleman will be just fine. And watch what happens with Bates and Blau's scheme will be so good. We're allowed for growth. What I think Kevin and I are both imagining is the average of best case and worst case is third or fourth in the division. And that's kind of the point the drum I'm beating here is that a lot has to go right for them to be right. If it's back of the baseball card, as Mike Rizzo always says, kind of the average of some of these guys' performances over the years, including some of those unknowns, it's probably not good enough to win the division, and you have lots of cap space left. What are we doing? What's the point of all of that?
So you asked to be talked off the ledge. Here's how I would do it. I don't think the construction of the roster is as bad or as perilous maybe as it sounds there in that the defense is really important too. You know, that's not like spending a lot of money on the video coordinating room or the security staff at the facility. The defense is vital. One of the best things they can do for Jaden Daniels is to have him have to score fewer points per game, to have less pressure put on him to be excellent and to win football games and to win shootouts. And so I didn't have a problem with going out and massively upgrading and addressing this defense at all. And I still think they've done a pretty good job with the skill positions on offense, where you've got McLaurin and Diggs, which is a top 10 1-2 punch at wide receiver with a lot of depth behind those guys. Bunch of players having good camps. Chigakonkwo was the number 2 marquee free agent added at the tight end position in the entire sport. I think they're deep at that position where they've also sunk a early round draft pick and have one of the better blocking tight ends into the spot. And at running back, they're not loaded by any means, but I think they're okay. And you just saw a couple of the rookies, including a 6th-round pick this year, show well in the preseason. So I think they're fine at the skill positions. to maybe even, you know, slightly above average, and they upgraded their defense. Those are good things, not bad things. But the larger point on, you know, some of the vented frustrations of how they go about preparing, I certainly can understand that. Zach is in Stafford on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Zach, fill in the blank. Jaden Daniels not playing at all this preseason is?
Scary. It's the perceived notion of Jaden around the league is that he's too skinny, he's injury prone, he's this, he's that. And then by us not playing him, it shows everyone else in the league that that's kind of what our front office feels the same way. You know, we don't trust him to go out there and protect himself and move accordingly.
So I actually want to hit on that. It's a good phone call. Thank you,
buddy.
Does this indicate that they worry about his durability and keeping him healthy? Last year they played him, I think it was four snaps, and he ended up running for a touchdown on one of those when he pulled the ball down. It was the only drop back of the preseason. So it will be basically one series, four plays, over 2 years, and zero dropbacks. Does that speak to a larger concern that they have in him getting out of these games healthy? We could tackle that next. Grant and Danny on The Fan.